Welcome to another episode of Pit Lane Parlay. I am your host, Mike Jokum. Hickey is here. Just us again tonight, it looks like. So we will talk about the GMR Grand Prix and whatever else news-wise we have this weekend. I'll be at the track both Friday and Saturday. So if you're in Indy, which is probably a good chunk of you, find me and say hello. It's weird, like, living here now. It's like, I don't have to, like, book a hotel for the next month or worry about flights or sleep on a couch.
Yeah, you just have to live in Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's like, this is a lot less stressful than I remember it being. But
trade-offs.
Trade-offs, yeah. The trade-off is you live in a state where people don't seem to care about their cars in Indianapolis. The amount of cars I see with, like, without bumpers just, like, blows my mind. I don't understand. I've talked to Stig and a few other people about this. Like, don't you care that your car is well maintained? I mean, I know the answer for Indiana, but I don't understand it.
Well, Stig has a nice Stig, car.
Like,
so
I would say,
know,
like,
you know his answer.
Like, you know, the people, there are people who care about their cars, which is a very small subset, and then, like, the rest. Like, there's a car in my apartment complex. It's like a PT Cruiser. It's white, and he, like, kind of cares because he put a bumper back on his car, but it's baby blue. So he's got, like, a North Carolina UNC vibe going on with his car, and it's not on purpose.
But he drives a PT Cruiser.
Also an issue, yes.
Yes. I think I was going to say something really mean there, but I think Jeremy Clarkson said at one point, if you drive a bad car, you clearly show no interest in driving. And if you show no interest in driving, then you don't care if you merge over and hit somebody, because who cares? Although you roll up to a stoplight and the person next to you in a Ferrari and you're a PT Cruiser, they have a lot more to lose than you do. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
No, go ahead and merge on them. They're going to be the ones that have stopped. So, yeah, I don't know where we want to start this week. Probably F1. There was a lot of IndyCar-related folk down in Miami this weekend, whether it was team obligations like the McLaren drivers, sponsor obligations like AutoNation, or just to go as a fan and to see what's up. Without talking too much about the race or the fact the track looked like not a good racetrack, it put on a fine event. It wasn't the worst event we've ever seen, but the racetrack could use some tweaking, I think, for next year. A lot of prevailing sentiment coming out of Miami from several IndyCar people, but guys like Pato specifically said that IndyCar needs to step up their game.
Yeah.
Do you think that they're going to be able to now, and I think 10 or so drivers are being reported as or rumored as coming to the Grand Prix this weekend from the Formula One side just to watch. Do you think that the drivers and whoever attended the Formula One race will be able to kind of come back to Roger and say, you know, like, here's what we witnessed. And then, you know, it looked like an incredible event for its first year. I can't believe how many celebrities actually went. It was insane. Yeah. What do you think the response is going to be from IndyCar with all these guys coming back to the paddock with what they observed?
I hope it's, hey, you know, we take away some key points, whether it be fake marinas or I don't know exactly, but the way they marketed the event, they did a really good job. No matter what you thought about the actual race itself, the way the race was promoted, etc., was really good. So kind of like the behind the scenes, not necessarily the on track part, they did a home run job. So if they can take away some points on, hey, if we do this for promoting, or we do a TV ad, or we market it as like a, you know, a cool hangout, and we get every driver to run a special helmet or throwback livery or special livery or something, that kind of fun party vibe definitely, I mean, won the day, because I mean, there were celebrities there that apparently are celebrities that I don't even know who they are. And I mean, you don't know who they are. Frenchie definitely didn't know who they were either when him and I were texting during the race on Sunday. So, I mean, they did a good job. And I don't think there's any, like, one big thing. And IndyCar also shouldn't overreact to how well it, you know, IndyCar's budget's a little different. So, you know, do what you can within your means and, you know, keep growing and see what you can learn, and I think it's only positive.
Yeah, I think my big takeaway is that I need to get Jill and Jay to bring a cabin cruiser or a yacht to Road America so we can camp in that instead.
Yes.
Because why would you not camp in a boat when you can, you know, camp in an RV?
Let's go, Jill.
But no, let's do a boat. Let's go, Jill. So, yeah, I think, I mean, obviously there's shortfalls in the marketing department, and we've talked about that before, but how much of that is lack of resources, which we've discussed before,
yeah,
asked and answered that. So I think a lot of it, you're right, comes down to resources and budget. So
if they can say, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. If they can say, you know, the way they promoted the race on social media or on YouTube or TV commercials or whatever was good, we should do something similar on an IndyCar scale, you know, because IndyCar budget is obviously much different. Awesome. I'm all for it. And I think it would be really successful to do that. You've seen, you know, the excitement around a weekend in Iowa, which is not Miami or Miami Gardens or whatever it's called. So if you can do something like that in Iowa, maybe, I don't know, somewhere a little more touristy, whether it be a current race or a new race, Nashville, let's say, maybe they change up add some promotion to Nashville more than they already did. You've got a very good IndyCar weekend ahead of you.
What's wrong with New Iowa?
Well, last time I made fun of Iowa a couple years ago before the Iowa weekend, somebody was in my DMs very angry about the fact that I made fun of Iowa. So Iowa's a lovely place and has lovely people, and I can't wait to go.
Yeah, but you say that, and I'm over here. Elkhart Lake's not the same as Las Vegas, so I don't know if I'm gonna be allowed into Elkhart Lake ever again.
How dare you make that comparison?
Sorry, I was born in Iowa, and I don't really care about it. So
you were?
Let's see. I was Davenport, Iowa.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, and we lived across the river in Illinois, so I guess that must have been the closest hospital. So that's great. Mm-hmm. Let's see. The Andretti Autosport owner, obviously Michael Andretti, was rummaging around the paddock, doing whatever he could to get into Formula One. I was just reading something that the AP and I believe Jenna Fryer put out, saying that two owners basically rejected his inquiries about wanting to join. Which I know this isn't a Formula One podcast, but if I could go in a small rant about that, Toto Wolff is citing that if they join after paying the $200 million or whatever, that it eats into the profits at the end of the year for all the other teams. Aren't those profits going to just keep going up, though, with the rise of Formula One? And if you're Mercedes, are you really going to be quivering at fear of the American team that just joined from scratch?
One correction first, then I'll go on. Two teams signed Michael Andretti's petition to enter without the $200 million, is what Jenna said. Unless Jenna posted something else.
Oh, okay.
But that's, yeah, I actually, that was circulating somewhere earlier. It might have been Jenna, I don't remember. But,
well, some, like Christian Horner said no,
yeah,
but Toto Wolff is also probably going to say
yes.
No.
I think Alpine and McLaren said yes. There's only two teams to say yes. Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Well, it's like, I think the whole $200 million thing, like, obviously is a hurdle. But, you know, I think to address Toto's concerns, it might be a fair trade-off. But then Toto can't still pitch a fit saying, yeah, like, oh, no, now our money's going. Like, shut up.
I think, obviously, none of us know Andretti's exact plans on team building, car building, et cetera, but they also, you know, Michael Andretti said, listen, we want to enter the European ladder series as well to bring in a pipeline of American drivers. I don't really see any other team doing anything similar, and the European ladder series sucks. So I'll probably continue on that rant when you listen to the F1 episode tomorrow, but I don't understand the how this isn't helping the F1 brand if you have a name like Andretti in there. Not you attract new sponsors to the sport, whether it be US brands or maybe international brands that are big Andretti fans or supporters or whatever. So I don't get it. I think it's really silly.
Yeah, I don't get it either. So Michael was building relationships this weekend in the paddock, and apparently the FIA president, Mohammed Ben Salem, gave him some sort of direction on how to proceed. And Michael said that that was kind of the first indication that he has gotten about how to proceed going forward. So we will keep our eyes on that as it pertains to Michael Andretti on the IndyCar side and what that means for the Andretti Autosport organization. So that's kind of cool. Two more F1 IndyCar related topics. The same FIA president Mohammed was at IMS over the week while he was here in the States to talk to Roger Penske about areas of mutual interest. Take your best guess at what that means.
So Frenchie and I have talked about this, not on the episode. I think we were texting about it over the weekend. And people who were like, oh my God, F1's coming to IndyCar next, F1's coming to IMS next year. FIA also controls WEC and probably a couple other series that are escaping my mind right now. And then there was an article that came out Sunday or yesterday, Monday, about WEC potentially at IMS in the next couple of years. So, and I mean, really, it could have just been, hey, you're the boss of IndyCar. I'm the boss of FIA, of the FIA. We should probably meet and, you know, discuss business, the state of affairs. How can we help each other grow? What is your business like? What is my business like? And yay. Because then the FIA guy also went down and met with the guy who's in charge of NASCAR, France, whatever his name is, whose name is Escape Bill France. Is that who it is?
Something Ted France. Something I surrender. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah. Matt France. I don't know. Anyway, you know, so he's just doing the rounds to discuss with other, you know, motorsports leaders. I don't think it's really anything to get all worked up about.
So you're saying that F1's not going to go to Talladega?
From what I'm hearing, F1 is actually going to go to Iowa.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Doom and gloom. You heard it here first. Yeah. And they're going to run the, instead of running the way IndyCar runs, what's that, counterclockwise? They're going to run clockwise.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you heard it here first. Yeah, I think, obviously the wishful side is, oh, cool, F1 might. It'd be nice to see them, okay, so you're going to have Vegas, obviously, which is a huge investment and cool. You're going to have Miami, as long as the promotion side of it can keep up with the finances. It's probably going to be on the schedule for a while. Would be nice to see them tweak some layout changes there. But the COTA race, it would be nice to see that one kind of rotate. If we are going to have three American Grand Prix, it would be nice to see that rotate between the COTA, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and maybe a third one.
Yeah.
I don't know what other FIA grade ones there are. So Indy fans, hopefully Indianapolis is not completely off the radar for Formula One in the future, but I'm guessing not for some time here. Then the last one was that my man Sebastian Vettel, who,
yes,
is okay in my eyes. He's fine.
He's an all right human.
Okay.
Average.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's fine. My favorite thing that he's ever done in his entire career is ask why they're going to tracks like Miami when Road America exists. My man.
Does that just further validate your funny tweet from 2 months ago?
Kind of. A little bit. It's like, why are we in Miami when we could be in Elkhart Lake? And it's just... Bobby Rahal has offered to put him in a test at Road America. I think Graham Rahal also commented on Twitter. So that would be infinitely cool if Vettel did a Romain Grosjean, Jimmy Johnson type deal where they just came into the road courses once they're out of F1. That would be really fun.
You bet I'd drive up for that test.
Oh, yeah. I'd make lighting come get me for that. So that would be cool. Speaking of Graham Rahal, He had some more comments about the Grosjean incident since our last episode. Yeah. I wanted to get your take on one thing he said in particular. He alluded to the fact that over 10 drivers have, or was it, I think he said maybe 10 drivers have texted him in response to his comments about Grosjean agreeing with him. Just wanted your thoughts on fair, foul, annoying, perfectly fine, well pointed, annoying. Where you stand on a comment like that?
I applaud Graham for his no BS, speak my mind attitude even more so this year than ever. I don't think he's being whiny per se by saying, you know, I've talked to a bunch of drivers. I feel like he might have been throwing a little bit of shade at Will Buxton, you know, who said, I talked to 15 IndyCar drivers more than like anything. But I think that joke was made multiple times on that article. I don't remember where it was from, but do I believe it? I don't know if it's 10, but it definitely might be 7 or 8. I mean, I know of 4 or 5 off the top of my head that I've talked to that are like, oh, I don't really like his on-track behavior. So does Graham talk to more people than I do? Most likely. So
I think the only solution here is that the next bullpen, you just have to ask everybody straight up if they texted Graham within the last 2 weeks.
Did you talk to Graham? Can you please describe the nature of your text message with Graham? And can you...
Do not make me show the subpoena for your phone. I will take your phone and look.
I'm going to hack your phone while you're on the track.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I believe him. But my favorite comment on Twitter was someone's like, oh, yeah, you want me to tell you which driver it was? Well, they didn't go to the same school as you, so you wouldn't know them, man.
Okay, that's a good one.
They didn't even go here.
They didn't go to Ohio State.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I'm sure I believe him, because I bet there are 10 drivers within the paddock that don't like him. I think the surprising thing there is that 10 drivers actually texted Graham. He doesn't seem like... He himself seems like he's got a couple drivers in the paddock that don't care for him. So
I think so, but I mean, every time I see Graham walking around and like another driver's nearby, they're always saying hi. So I think Graham has gained more paddock respect over the last couple years, especially the last couple years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I respect the hell out of him, and I think his image has come a long way last 6-7 years. So, well, we'll see if there's any retribution this weekend. I highly doubt it, but that would be hella funny. Some Indy 500
news bits before we get
Borg Warner's offering. Oh, go ahead.
Before we get to Borg Warner and all that fun stuff. But speaking of green, Athletic Greens. That's a good one. Frenchie is our.
You should let other people tell you that,
right? So I got excited. Frenchie is our resident Athletic Greens user because he wanted more energy, better health, a better immune system, and didn't like taking all sorts of pills and vitamins. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to start your day right. The special blend of ingredients supports gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy, recovery, focus, and aging. Going down. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial flavorings. Tons of people take some kind of multivitamin, and it's important to choose one with high quality ingredients that your body will actually absorb. Your subscription will come with a year's supply of vitamin D, which is so important to add during these spring months when it might rain half the time. I had to adjust that because my copy read is slightly outdated here. Costs less than...
No, you said during.
During. It costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit, which I am still not willing to give up, but my Athletic Green subscription is arriving next week. 7,000 five-star reviews recommended by professional athletes like Formula One driver Lewis Hamilton. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packets with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/emerging to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Now, more green.
I supplement vitamin D every day. Do you supplement vitamin D? It's important.
I don't, but I heard you talking about that on Xbox chat the other day. I think you were saying it to somebody.
Yeah, I probably sound like a huge nerd. And it's funny because I'm definitely not the most in shape person ever, but try to address the areas that I can address with supplements.
Okay.
So fish oil and vitamin D are my two big ones. And if you want to look like Frenchie, start by ordering some Athletic Greens.
Well,
I should probably do that ASAP because I want to look like Frenchie.
Me too.
If Elio wins the fifth, Borg Warner will give Elio an additional $400,000. So that's cool because that's not going to happen.
Ouch.
Do you think it's going
to
happen?
I don't know yet. I definitely am not ready to make Indy 500 predictions, but it's hard to say he doesn't have a chance if I'm being realistic and don't have a bias.
It's not going to happen. Oh, whatever. Get out
of here. I like Mrs. Hickey's reply to that, the PLP tweet earlier today about the thing. I got a big kick out of that.
Not in this house. Yeah. Sarah Fisher will be driving the pace car for the Indy 500, so that's pretty cool. Definitely one of the more iconic drivers in IndyCar history, so, and a local favorite, so that's really cool. And then we finally have our 33rd entry confirmed. It is Stefan Wilson with Dragon Speed. I was about to say Dragon Racing, and then Jay Penske was going to sue me for libel or something. Stefan Wilson with Dragon Speed, and they're using the Foyt chassis, if I read that correctly.
Tatiana's chassis.
And they are sponsored by a jerky company that's escaping me.
Gnarly Jerky.
Have you had it before?
No, but I did order, like many of our listeners, did order a couple that are arriving tomorrow and will be my media center snack of choice.
You're bringing it with the trail. I'm like, you going to the media center tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow.
I'm like, what's tomorrow? All right. Well, so that's cool. So really happy for Stefan and Dragon Speed. Hopefully this is kind of a window for them to get back into IndyCar. Could that be pretty cool?
Yeah.
Should be fun to watch that. RC Enerson and father are working to get back into IndyCar full time in 2023. They now have reclaimed ownership of the chassis that were at Top Gun. So now it is about working on a budget and then taking said equipment to a team to kind of partner with. I'm putting money down on Ed Carpenter Racing right now.
I have a question for you.
I don't know what you think.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
My thought is a question. If you were Ed Carpenter or another team, any team, and you saw the cluster F that just occurred with Top Gun Racing over the last 2 year and change or whatever it's been, why would you want to do anything to do with the Enersons? And I think RC Enerson is a very talented driver that just things didn't break his way. But also, there's every time the Enersons are involved, there's all sorts of drama.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!
So that's true. I didn't think about that way. If you are Ed Carpenter, you can put in all of the legwork to make a third entry work and find the chassis, get the transporter, find the driver, get the budget, or you could just have a prepackaged delivery arrive for you with a budget and a qualified driver who hasn't had the most opportunities to show himself in IndyCar and not look the gift horse in the eyes and just roll with it.
All right. I mean, you're not wrong. It's just,
it sounds a lot easier than just doing all of the extra steps yourself.
Oh, it 100%.
Unless they had, if they had a Kyle Kirkwood and Indy Lights that they wanted to promote up, it'd be one thing. Then it might be worth the effort to go through all those extra steps to get, make sure they stay in your stable. But otherwise I'd just look the gift horse not in the eyes and just take it.
Oh, before we preview the race, did you see that Alex Rossi said, "My 2023 has officially been decided"? Like, we had, I mean, I know we've already kind of surmised what might happen, and I think I know what might happen, but it's interesting to see him say that this weekend.
Yeah, I wonder if that means he's just stopped giving a shit and stopped putting on the ruse for the sake of putting on the ruse and just like, all right, well, you got it.
I can't wait to interview him in a media bullpen then, because it'll be super fun. And I'm serious. Like, no shits given, Rossi is a lot of fun.
Are you going to ask him what his 2023 plans are yet?
No, I enjoy my safety, and I feel like that's the type of question that like might get me punched right in the throat, no matter who I am. Like, that's just like an instant, like he hears that question and he's just like, boom.
Yeah, well, I think it might be a good warm-up for him before he goes and does it to Santino at the victory banquet at the 500.
Ouch.
So,
all right, fair.
I think that came up in the drunk episode.
I think it did, yeah.
I said Rahal and Rossi could knock a expletive out if they wanted to. See them charged up after the Grosjean contact and running out of fuel or whatever. I'm like, those are two guys I wouldn't want to cross, but that's just me. All right. Moving into the Grand Prix, one thing I wanted to ask you because it seemed to be a touchy subject on social media before we got to our predictions and whatnot, is Juan Montoya is racing this weekend in the number 6 car. And for the second year in a row, they're running the Lucas Oil black and red chrome car, which made its debut in 2017. I think that was Mikhail Aloshin.
Yeah.
And then obviously it was the livery for Wickens with his devastating crash, his IndyCar career ending crash. And then they did come back last year when Montoya was not running the number 6. I think it was the 68 or something.
86, yeah.
86. Huh, I was close. So there was definitely some feelings on Twitter that was wrong of McLaren or unfair of McLaren. What did you think of that?
I think the question has to be asked, did McLaren talk to Robert Wickens? Because they sure might have. And I, you know, at this point, you know, we've seen, unfortunately, you know, the 77 has been run after Dan Weldon, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, it's hard. It's very hard because I still remember everything about being at Pocono that day. Don't like talking about it that much. But at the same time, it's been a couple years. Wickens is still with the team, you know, in coaching capacity. And I think, you know, we can all kind of see that it's probably unlikely that Robbie gets behind the wheel of an IndyCar in an actual race, maybe a test or something you could, you know, for fun, you know, demonstrating the technology you could see, but an actual race is pretty unlikely. So it's hard. It's definitely hard on a personal level. And if they did him dirty, would that be a pretty shitty thing to do? Sure. But I also, listen, I get it. I think it's just one of those things that, it is what it is. Like, I'm not really all that worked up about it.
Right. I mean, because it, like I said, that kind of concept came in 2017 before Wickens was right with the team. It did, you know, change a little bit from 2017 to 2018. And now the one they're running this week basically resembles the 2018 version, or sorry, the 2018 version. So, I mean, I get it. It's definitely got some people emotionally charged based on what they recall from that day. But at a certain time, I think it's kind of like it's almost like a good tribute per se of like, you know, this is a great looking car. That entry that year was phenomenal. And we're excited to kind of have the Lucas Oil name back on the side of the car on a livery that garners a lot of, you know, obviously people like to think of Pocono, but there was a lot of good memories that year too with Wickens succeeding at a lot of tracks and doing very well. So, yeah, I also hope they, you know, talked with Robbie about it and didn't do anything disrespectful. I mean, McLaren's had a history of being a little shady sometimes, so hopefully it was all done in the right way, but I personally don't have an issue that they're running that livery.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you can, I was saying this to Cassie Johnston whenever the livery announcement was late last week. Like, I just want to think about like the, you know, the good memories that the Wickens car brought, and also the fact that, you know, he is still alive. He's about to be a dad at some point in the next couple months. Like, there's a lot of positive things that we can think about. And I have heard some, like, the guy who runs Lucas Oil, like, I don't know what his name is, but I heard some less than flattering things about him last week. But I mean, I'm not all that worked up about it either. It's as long as McLaren talked to Robbie. If he said, oh, they never talked to me, like, yeah, it'd be kind of crappy, but I'm not, this isn't something I think is worth necessarily getting all bent out of shape about.
What?
I know. No doom and gloom. We haven't like doom and gloomed once this episode. So rah, that's all I got.
Well, the race in Miami was the most watched Formula One race, I think, on air in America ever.
Yeah. At least since Monaco in like 2002.
So, therefore, IndyCar sucks.
Yeah, failing. Might as well close shop. And, you know, who wants to run the Indy 500 in 3 weeks, 2 weeks, whenever it is?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Apparently, there is a debate online that the Indy 500 should be the first race of the year.
I'm so tired of that debate. Because then you're going to have to run races in the winter, which limits where you can run. It's just, no.
If it was the first race, wouldn't people just stop caring after?
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, I mean, I guess in the defense of the current schedule is that if you're an Indy 500 fan, you don't care about the first four races either.
Yeah.
Probably. Like, you're not going to care who wins the... Well, they may watch the Grand Prix just because it's in Indianapolis, but you're not going to care who won at Barber.
Right.
So, anyways. There's our doom and gloom for the episode. Also, 100% still think that Indy 500 shouldn't be a non-points paying race, but neither here nor there.
Not going there tonight. We're not going to go doom and gloom tonight.
Come on. It was that's the way it was when you were a kid. Come on. Stunned. I got him.
Silence. I got nothing.
Let's talk about the race. The only, correct me if I'm wrong, the only entry that is additional this week is actually Montoya. Am I missing anybody?
You're right. Montoya is the only extra. 27 cars.
Sweet. So we got 27 cars.
Doom and gloom. So terrible numbers. Sorry.
You're so full of them. You gotta kind of like make it look like you're actually mad. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really. I mean, out of the 37 times we've run this track since 2014, do you have a favorite memory?
Pagano and Dixon battle in 2019 in the rain was.
Oh, you mean on my wedding day? My anniversary is tomorrow.
Oh, well, happy anniversary!
Thank you. Did I tell you that I gave lighting one job that day was to fill me in on the race as it was happening? Like, you know, like when we're going through receiving line, I was like, "How's the race going?" He's like, "I don't know." I'm like, dude, I gave you one job. So I had to just check my phone at like 7:30 and to figure out like who won. And then everybody's like, that was a great race. I'm like, of course that was on my wedding. Well, I guess we brought a good luck. Right?
Yeah. Yes. You're going to have something. To go celebrate, do some big celebration on Saturday before the race starts or something like that.
I love IndyCar and I want to see it succeed, but I am not going to get remarried just for the sake of having another good race.
I didn't say remarried, just like, I don't know, renew your vows.
I didn't say you did it, but I'm sure. Well, I'm sorry. I was about to say Cody's name. I forgot to give a racing league update for the week. Cody Bray did not win this last weekend. Mm. Moving along, I don't know what my favorite memory was. I think 2014 was pretty cool because it was ridiculous with the Saavedra getting pole, which was horse shit. I mean, it was a good lap and he did well, but I just think the concept of Sebastian Saavedra getting a pole is horse shit. And then proceeding to stall and having that huge crash was ridiculous. And then Plowman flying through the air and hitting Frank Montagny, which is a little funny. Well, not, I don't know what the funny, because now we know what legal trouble Frank Montagny got into. What else happened in 2014? Oh, Hinch had a terrible injury. That was not funny. I'm glad he was okay. I'm glad we have the aero screen now, but that was not a good moment. I was like, I knew there was something other major thing that happened that race. And then Kurt Busch was in the car after for the 500. Kind of a weird month there. Yeah, I can't really. I mean, Connor Daly. Who did Connor Daly send it on that one year in 16? Was that Elio?
I think so. I don't remember.
Back when they had the LED lights and pushed past, that was pretty cool to watch him send it and take the lead. Yeah, I guess that's my favorite memory probably because it's not really a good race ever. And they need to get rid of the last chicane.
Yep.
Which I hope is something they can do for the whatever race, July, August, whenever
July,
they're doing it
July,
again,
yeah.
For the 38th time. Yeah, I mean, do we have really, I mean, it's going to be a straightforward race. Qualifying is going to have a major impact on the results. There's usually not too many cautions. If there is, it's either from turn one, lap one, or a mechanical issue. There's almost like never a normal, quote unquote, normal crash in this race, quote unquote. Yeah. Do you have anything before we just make some predictions?
No, I mean, it's going to be a nice day. Come out and enjoy the show. Tickets are pretty cheap for this weekend, I think. So, yeah, I mean, listen, it is what it is. We've run the race a bazillion times, like you said. So,
yeah, there's only so much we can talk about.
There's not too much. Like, could this happen or could this happen? It's either a two-stop or a three-stop strategy. And that's, I do enjoy strategy battles, so that's what you have to look forward to this weekend, unless there's some crazy rainstorm that they're not predicting, or I don't know, something happens caution wise. So we'll see. You know, I'm excited to be there. That's about all I got.
Right. Oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, we could do the analysis first lap. Like, oh, do you think there's gonna be a crash in the first turn? Why, yes, host. I think there will be. Cool. Yeah. Let's move on.
86% chance.
Is that your actual math, or did you see that?
No, I just like pulled that number out of thin air.
Okay. All right. Well, who is your winner of the, is this the GMR Grand Prix?
GMR.
Is it some
other
this fancy?
Is GMR. The Gallagher Grand Prix is the August one or July one. I will say, we'll talk about that at some point this summer. I will say that Scott McLaughlin is going to get his car back into victory lane and continue the Chevy season dominance.
And I will say Willpower gets his first win of the season. Who is your dark horse top 10?
Dark horse top 10. Juan Montoya.
Oh, God. Oh, I just got flashbacks of lighting predicting that he would finish in the top 10. Shit you not. Montoya was like 20th-ish in the speed charts the entire month. Race day, he is like 15th to 20th the entire day, and then somehow out of nowhere sneaks in the top 10 at the end. Finished like 8th. It just annoyed me to no end because I had to listen to lighting all of the Road America weekend talk about it while I was wearing my Packers jersey. I'm going to go Jack Harvey is my top 10 dark horse. Who do you have as a struggle bus this weekend?
Let's go with Felix Rosenquist.
might be a cop out, but we'll allow it.
Yeah, it's borderline getting on. I think after the Indy 500, we could start defining for sure cop outs and not cop outs.
Yeah, you have all Chevy so far in your selection here. I don't know. I'll go ahead and say maybe. I'll say Marcus Ericsson maybe doesn't have his best weekend.
I was trying to think of a Ganassi car to have a bad weekend, and I like after Scott Dixon, I was like, I don't even remember who's on Ganassi right now.
Be like, oh, Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, cool. Nice one. All right. First out, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to say Colton Herta is the first out.
Okay. I will say that. Let's pick somebody important here. And Colton Herta is a good one. Let's go with, I don't know. I was about to say James Hinchcliffe. I'm really struggling right now.
Rude.
And sorry, James. You're great at announcing and a fantastic addition in the NBC booth. I will say that Kyle Kirkwood is first out.
I thought you said important. I'm just kidding.
He's an important rookie. That's hurtful.
I know. Well,
did you see that a plane in front of him landed with a passenger flying it today?
Yeah, that's terrifying. Yes, I love Kyle. He's amazing. Who is your... Well, I bet your best rookie is not going to be Kyle, but who is your best rookie?
Let's go four wheels and an engine, Lundgaard.
Hey, what?
I'm doing this 94% to spite you and 6% because he's already raced here before.
I forgot about that when I picked in fantasy. Gosh.
So did I, to be totally honest with you, but you know, you win some, you lose some. We both lost in that one.
I guess he did finish 14th. Qualified really well, but didn't finish well. So I will say I really want to pick Malukas, but all right, I guess I'll go Kirkwood. I've picked four wheels and an engine every week every race this year. So I might as well switch
me,
it up.
Me, Shannon, or Frenchie have not first. Picked him.
Why? Well, Frenchie would if he could.
Right.
If I didn't claim him every week, but I know Shannon's probably not picking him. So, well, that's that fine host at the track. He has a gray beard and a cane.
I can't grow. Listen, even when I'm 80, when I'm actually 80, I still won't be able to grow a gray beard. So let's be real about my old jokes when you make them.
Okay.
But
because you know you were definitely alive when it was non-points paying races.
Anyway,
that was very real.
I hope.
Did I ruin your outro?
Yeah, I hope everybody has a lovely weekend of racing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.